Hello, everyone, and welcome to FinTech Findings, the show that makes sure you have your ear to the ground on all things FinTech, from banking, lending, and regulations to payments and platforms. Each episode features prominent guests from the industry discussing the challenges and opportunities we face in finance today.
Welcome, everyone, to today's FinTech Findings podcast. Today, we are talking about how Europe's leading instant credit provider is ensuring responsible lending practices during the cost of living crisis. I'm your host, Jonathan Wildish. I lead lending strategy for Tink, and I'm really excited to be your host today. I'm joined by Francois, United's Chief Product Officer. Francois, welcome. Thank you so much for taking the time. Would love for you to do a quick intro of yourself and also United.
Thank you. So first of all, super excited to be here. Thanks, Jonathan, for having me today. So as you said, my name is François de Bodina. I'm the Chief Product Officer at United. On a personal note, I joined United 2.5 years ago, coming from automotive, e-commerce, and tech industry in general, where I worked for various number of companies between UK, Japan, and US. So I'm United, maybe in a few words. We are the leading instant credit provider in Europe. What does that mean, instant credit? It means automated decision, final decision that we can give customers in a matter of minutes. So it's really a revolution in the industry. And with that, we are allowed to give credits decisions up to 50,000 euros in the world of personal loans and also in the world of retails as a mean of payment. We are really cutting edge platform, fully tech focused. We are 250 people in product, tech, and data, and 600 plus within United. And we operate in 5 countries in Europe, France, Italy, Spain, Portugal, and Germany. So that's roughly who we are. I think it's really both sides of the fin and tech. Okay, we're the regulated bank for the fin side, and we are super innovative, AI-based tech company for the other side. So it's really the best of both worlds.
That's wonderful. And as a reminder, United partnered with Tink in June 2022 to improve the credit decisioning and application process, leveraging Tink's connectivity to have a more accurate and inclusive approach to affordability assessments. Regarding this partnership, I'm curious to know, how long have you been using open banking for credit assessments? What made you choose open banking? And what are some of the benefits that you've identified throughout this process?
I think the first thing to say for me, open banking is a technology, okay? And as with everything, you need a purpose. And the purpose we have at United, our value proposition is really to use innovation, technology, and to put them at the service of our customers to create, really reinvent the credit and the banking industry, really make it more seamless, more transparent, and more easy for users. Our mission, in a way, is also to help users and European household reach financial well-being. And I will explain more in detail today how we do this. But within the open banking, which we've been using for, we're entering our 6th year now of using open banking. So we're quite advanced now in what we do. There are probably 3 things that we see are super important and really great values with it. The first is the holistic approach we have. We have a 360-degree view on the customer data, which really help us make much more informed decision about the credit process. So that's number one, and we'll talk about it later. We can create very, very simple and fast user experience. We'll also come back to it, but users don't have to upload documents anymore. They have a final decision within minutes. It's a revolution in the credit industry. And we're also increasing the financial inclusion because we are exhaustive. And we look at data. We don't miss anything with open banking, which allow us to have a more profound approach on the scoring and potentially accept people where maybe information could have been missed in the, I would say, traditional process. So I'm not saying we accept more, but we don't miss opportunities of accepting people if they present themselves. So that's roughly the reason why we're using open banking today at United.
Oh, that's fantastic. And it's good to hear kind of key benefits that you're seeing are really around making sure that you uncover all the possible ways to accept applicants. It's fantastic. And considering the current economic environment, in your opinion, why is now the time to act for lenders and enhance their affordability assessments? would love to get your perspective on that. But to give you some context on Tink's consumer research on the question, we've conducted recently a consumer research study and lender research study in the UK, France, and Germany. And consumers that we're finding are increasingly challenged to make ends meet. Significant numbers of people are overdrawn at the end of the month. And to mitigate these financial challenges, many citizens are turning to loans either from those close to them or from more formal financial institutions. Borrowers are encountering difficulties in repaying these loans. And unfortunately, we're seeing defaults and fraud continue to cause problems for lenders. So it's a compounding problem. And we've also seen, as a result, 82% of UK lenders are now considering affordability checks more important than ever. And 77% of those UK lenders acknowledge that the need to improve their risk decisioning models to provide a more accurate view of people's finances is essential. So we'd love to get your opinion and your understanding of why, how you're seeing the affordability assessments and enhancing that process.
Yes, I think the starting point for me is to say that a few years ago, when we started using open banking, it was a bit seen as a luxury. It was really optional. Many other banks were like, "Why are you complexifying your life like this? You know, with complex tools and really integrating this technology. You have credit bureaus. You know, why doing it?" And you'll see throughout the call today that it's less and less of an option. I think it becomes mandatory. And there is a few reasons for this. First, contextual reasons. Risk level overall are increasing in the credit industry. Stress on the affordability for people and risk is increasing. So you need to really minimize and control it as a bank. Consumer demand is also dropping somehow. So it's like 7% less 2023 compared to 2022 in France on credit demand. So you need to really find customer. It's not really a problem for United because we are small, so we always, and we work with prospects, so we have the customer base we need. But for big bank, it could be a challenge. And the regulation is evolving as well, more and more, and we'll talk about it, but you'll see the new directive on consumer credits are evolving for the benefit of customer, and I think it's a good thing. So now it makes the choice of open banking really necessary, and I would say for two reasons. First, people need a great experience, okay? Credit doesn't have to be a bad experience. It doesn't have to be complex. It can be simple. It can be fair. It can be accurate and fast. And that's, I think, a benefit of open banking that we'll discuss further after. Second, banks and lenders in general, they need to be more efficient. And the more accurate you are in your affordability assessment, in your solvency check, you know, for your users, the less impacted you'd be by the crisis and the better you'll survive as a bank and as a lender. So you need to have proper, good information to assess credit before you can make a final decisions. And I think nowadays, open banking is the ultimate tool, a mandatory technology to achieve that.
Wonderful. And that's really interesting to hear your story. And from my perspective, of the lenders we spoke to in our recent survey, we see that over a quarter said that verifying an applicant's income verification was the most time-consuming element of the risk decisioning process, whether that's collected manually or digitally, with fraud being an increasing issue. Given that, would you agree that the current environment demands comprehensive applicant data?
You have to. There's no choice. Again, it's really mandatory. You have to have the most accurate data on your customers to be able to make a very informative decision. And fraud is increasing. So you have on the payslip, mostly on the revenue incomes. This is where you see most of the fraud. Okay, people will have. It's very easy, you know, to make also fake documents and more. So you have to see in our context, 80% of the fraud attempts are on the on this side of things. Open banking virtually eliminates that. Okay, when you connect your account and you allow your bank to share your transaction or your payslips, you know, with United directly, this is completely secure. It can't be falsified. So this is really a first thing. So in 5 years with this, we've been able to divide fraud by a factor of 10 to 15, depending on which context. So this is really, I would say, it's a killer tool for fraud. It's really a fraud killer, this open banking. But it comes from a long way for us. You know, we started open banking in 2018 in Spain. as a replacement for document upload. And little by little, we moved to a more solvency check analysis, fraud analysis, AML check analysis as well. So we're really expanding the scope of open banking as we go, as we learned along the way. We learned we had to have millions and billions of transactions now to really understand how this works and learn about it. And the last thing I'd say, I think open banking, bank reader in general, when you receive this, it's the most accurate and the fresher data you're going to get, you know, compared to even credit bureaus. So it's a good complement for credit bureaus. But some countries like France don't really have credit bureaus like others. So this is really the freshest data, the most accurate goldmine of data you're going to get on your users. And for this, it's a little bit like coming from Amazon. If I can give you an example, Amazon advertising, they know the buying habits of people on Amazon, which means the targeting of advertising is super accurate. For instance, you want to sell a camera on Amazon, you just need to target the people who just bought a crib, and you're going to be super accurate. It's an example. That's what we used to do. And same thing, give me your spending habits through open banking, and I will tell you who you are as a financial person and what's your habit and your ability to repay, your ability to manage your budget. And there is no more, comprehensive set of data than using open banking to assess this during the scoring analysis and the solvency process of a credit demand application. So that's roughly why I think it's super important to have comprehensive application data, and open banking is the solution for it.
Thank you so much. It's very apparent that United is ahead of the curve and really using open banking data to inform affordability and income analysis during the credit decisioning. And I'd be curious to know, what is United's perspective on how lenders can better support their customers during these challenging times specifically?
It's a good question, and I think that should be on every lender banking mind. Okay, it's a priority for United, and since 12 years, since inception, United has been focusing on making the right choice for the benefit of the customer to really reinvent the credit industry. So obviously, we're using open banking for solvency analysis, for fraud analysis, AML checks, and things like this. But there are other benefits that we can use, and education, you know, is part of it. So we launched a solution a year and a half ago called Coach, which basically uses your open banking data and analyzes all your recurring expenses that you have, coming could be energy bill, home insurance, car insurance, bank fees, telcos, you name it. Okay, we have axes of analysis, and proposes nudges or solutions to the customer to optimize those bills. So it's a little bit like saying, when you're in the finance industry and when you credit demand as a user, you're a bit alone. Okay, you're alone in front of your screen. Coach makes sure that you're not alone anymore. It's like having a million friends to whom you can ask, okay, how much do you pay in telco? How much do you pay in energy? Okay, so maybe I'm paying too much, and maybe I should do something about it. And nobody asks their friends how much they pay on their bills. So here we are doing it for you for free, and we're doing it for every single consumer, customer, or users, people who even leave and or people who are refused, also have access to Coach for free. So it's really a choice we've made to create a very data-led, advanced, ultra-personalized service to provide those recommendations, budget optimization advice for customers. And that's one example, I think, on how you can use technology and open banking in that case for the benefit of users. And our users can save up to €500 a year on this. 80% of the users who access Coach have at least one recommendation. So it's really everybody, you know, can benefit from it in a way.
That's really an inventive way and how you found to support customers during the challenging economic times we're in. And I hope more learn from you and do the same. And as you've already alluded to, we're seeing stricter regulations on the horizon. In October 2023, the European Commission published a proposal for an update on the Consumer Credit Directive due to rising digitalization, a lack of standardization, and consumer protection concerns. From our perspective at Tink, Consumer Credit Directive 2.0 emphasizes the importance of a thorough creditworthiness evaluation. It means looking at not just how much money people earn and spend, but also considering their existing financial responsibilities, living costs for them and their family, and their overall financial obligations. To meet this objective, utilizing enriched data and improved affordability assessments, we see as the path forward. and many in the industry are well aware of this need for change. How are you preparing your business to ensure compliance with the new credit directive?
So it's a good question. The answer is simple. We already are compliant. United is a regulated bank, and we've been choosing amortized credit and to stay within regulation product only. So we remain compliant from the beginning. And the new directive on consumer credits is actually going in the right direction. I think so for us, it's not a problem. We're already there. So we know we've optimized for years the credit demand application with, I would say, an extensive solvency check and ID check and fraud check. So it's already there. So we are quite leading the industry in that regard. But for the buy now, pay later, I think it's a good thing because we've seen some excess in that industry. And our CEO, co-founder, Geoffroy Guigou, did a thought leadership not so long ago explaining, you know, and trying to assess on, can we buy everything with a credit? And we've seen, you know, the excess I was mentioning. You have people buying lipsticks or even pizzas delivered, buying with buy now pay later. And that should not be a lot. I think that shouldn't be possible. On top of that, when people use the BNPL, they're not really aware, most of them, that they're actually subscribing to a credit as well, that they will have to repay every month for 3-4 months. And then that if they don't, they will have fees and they will cost a lot more money. So I think the education and is the role of the lenders and the bank to really assess the solvency. So I think to me, the industry going that direction is a good thing. It will take a little while, I think, for the traditional buy now pay later players to really catch up. They have to work hard for the next few years to really increase the assessment, the solvency assessment, without decreasing the conversion and the simplicity of the journey. This is a challenge we've been dealing with for years at United. How can we be thorough in the analysis? And in the meantime, how can we have the simplest experience for our consumers? So we're super happy because we're already there, and we're going to keep the edge we have by keeping on innovating as we do today to make sure we stay ahead of the curve. So again, to your question, no need to do anything to be compliant. We already are.
Consumer Credit Directive 2.0 will be a massive change for the industry, but obviously for lenders such as yourself who are already ahead of the curve, you're in the right place. Before we go, do you have any last thoughts or words that you'd like to share on the future of lending? How do you see lending evolving in the next 5 to 10 years?
So hard question, because everything I'll say now will be can be taken against me in 5 to 10 years. But my prediction, I will keep it simple. I won't go into the high tech AI stuff, but definitely they will play a significant role. We're already using it for scoring since many years, but more and more also in the journey of the customer to have more accurate advice and things like this. So The two things I see, I think the two focus we'll have is on the customer experience. That's the first one. We want to make sure we have the best experience, multi-channel, a more personalized experience as well, more and more for users. It's really key to understand the context of your users. Everybody has a different context, a different need at a specific time, and the credit demand application can adapt to it. So that's what we're working on at United. The second thing is, I think it's around the education. We want to make sure that people know what they are doing. We want to make sure that we are really capable of proposing the most personalized experience with the best advice at any time for our users. So we're doing it with Coach, but Coach, I will say, is still in inception phase. There are so much we can do. And I think with this, we can really reinvent the bank details, you know, in general. With recommendations that could fit customer needs at the right time. So that's why I see the future, you know, on this experience and education would be two key axes for the overall lending industry.
That's wonderful. And it's good to hear your perspective on where the industry is going for you and for the industry. Thank you so much, Francois, for your time. And thank you everyone for listening to this episode of FinTech Findings. I hope you learned how Europe's leading instant credit provider, United, is ensuring responsible lending practices during the challenging economic crisis.
Well, thank you very much, Jonathan. It was a real pleasure to be there today.
That wraps up this episode of FinTech Findings. Thank you all for tuning in. Join us again next time to find out more about the developments in the FinTech space. If you want to be notified about upcoming episodes, follow us on LinkedIn.